now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
In the marijuana law reform movement, the cannabis community is represented by thousands of dedicated defense attorneys fighting to end prohibition and keep us free. The Russ Belville Show visits with the tireless courtroom crusaders in our legalization, law, and order.
Welcome back. And today we are going to be talking about a particular project out there that I think deserves more attention. And it was brought to my mind by the recent news of President Obama commuting the sentences, the life sentences of 22 prisoners of the drug war. Unfortunately, only one of those prisoners was a marijuana prisoner. Most of the prisoners, their sentences had to do with crack cocaine and other drugs. But one, we're glad to have the one who was released, but there need to be more that are released. And to that end, I turn to the Clemency Report. You can find their website at clemencyreport.org and the reporting of Beth Curtis, who is the nation's number one expert on extreme marijuana sentences. The post she puts up is the top 10 most outrageous marijuana sentences. These are 10 men who should be freed by President Obama. Number one is John Nock. He's age 67. He's serving life without parole for a nonviolent first offense. He was a Presbyterian minister in a small Midwestern town, married to a homemaker, and moved to San Francisco in the late 60s. And joined the Good Earth Commune in Haight-Ashbury. He was out of the business and living in Hawaii in 1994 with his wife, who was completing her PhD in biology, and his son, age 23, when he was indicted as a part of a loose group of entrepreneurs who imported marijuana in the 1970s and 1980s. You can learn more about John Nock at the Clemency Report, clemencyreport.org. Number two prisoner would be Paul Free. The ironically named Paul Free, age 64, serving life in a federal prison. He's the former manager of the Coronado Playhouse Theater in his California hometown and completed a marine biology degree from the University of San Diego shortly before his arrest in 1994. At the time, he was living in Mexico, teaching English and organizing a school. These skills helped him teach GED classes and achieve the highest graduation rate in the federal prison system. Today, Paul is recovering from an apparent stroke suffered 2 years ago. His devoted mom died a few years ago at age 100. He's a talented man serving life without parole and doesn't deserve to die in prison for a nonviolent marijuana offense. You can learn more about Paul Free at clemencyreport.org or lifeforpot.com. Number three is Leopoldo Hernandez Miranda. He's age 76. He's doing a life sentence. He has been called the most deserving clemency candidate you've never heard of. He's a Cuban fisherman with a fourth grade education and limited English skills. He lacks the ability to advocate assertively for himself. A minor player in a phony marijuana importation effort, which was a DEA sting, Leopoldo was a day laborer who was harvested into a life without parole sentence that is entirely undeserved. Leopoldo is the victim of one of the nation's most disgraceful marijuana sentences. You can learn more about Leopoldo Hernandez Miranda at clemencyreport.org or lifeforpot.com. Number four is Antonio Bascaro. He's age 80. Now, he is set to be released in June of 2019, but he's age 80. He's a historic figure in two ways. He has been in prison longer for marijuana than anyone in United States history, nearly 35 years, even exceeding the 29 years Bobby Tuna served. Second, this amazing man was a Cuban war hero who battled Fidel Castro during the revolution and again during the ill-fated Bay of Pigs invasion. In 1958, Antonio crashed a plane that is now featured in Cuba's Museum of the Revolution. Antonio, captured, had breakfast with Raul Castro, Fidel's brother and now Cuba's official leader, who tried to convince the young pilot to change sides and head the Revolutionary Air Force. Antonio refused. After escaping execution, Antonio was a role player in a group who helped import marijuana from Colombia to the U.S. by fishing boat in the late 1970s. The Cuban who ran the business was released in 1994. The legendary American pot wholesaler who bought and distributed all the pot was released in 1996. Only Antonio, now age 80 and in a wheelchair, remains in prison. You can learn about Antonio Barrasco at the Clemency Report, clemencyreport.org, lifeforpot.com. Number five is Kenny Kubinski. He's age 67, federal prisoner, serving life. He won 3 Purple Hearts and a Bronze Star for valor in Vietnam. We repaid him with a life without parole sentence. Kenny owned a construction company with his brothers when he was arrested in 1993 for marijuana and a little cocaine. He was taken away from his wife Jacqueline, a preschool teacher, and 3 kids, a 6-year-old boy and 2 preschool girls. In retrospect, Kenny believes he was suffering from PTSD, a condition not well understood at the time. His release would honor our nation and be an act of compassion for his wife and children, who are now grown. You can learn more about Kenny Kubinski at clemencyreport.org and lifeforpot.com. Number 6 of the 10 prisoners that President Obama should grant clemency to is Larry Duke. He's age 67. He's a nonviolent grandfather and master tinkerer serving life without parole for marijuana. He's been locked up since 1989. When Larry, a decorated Marine who served in Vietnam, was asked what he would like to say in an article about him, he wrote, "A lifelong friend, Marty Brennan, died, and his burial at Arlington National Cemetery is scheduled for December 2014. I would sure like to show up and say goodbye." And of course, he was never able to. What we would like to say about Larry, he's a remarkable man, an inventor, dreamer, and problem solver of so many accomplishments that he cannot easily be summed up in a few sentences. If you'd like to read more about Larry Duke's story, federal marijuana prisoner serving life without parole, it's at clemencyreport.org and lifeforpot.com. Number 7 federal prisoner deserving of clemency is Billy Deakel. He's age 65, federal prisoner. Billy was a smart, adventuresome cowboy of a young man. He flew planes in high school, joined the Marines upon graduation, and transported bales of pot in his 20s. Gringo Billy, he was called, and he went where the pot was, Colombia, Nicaragua, Jamaica, the Bahamas, and Belize, and brought it home to American consumers. He was a character from a Jimmy Buffett song, making $20,000 or more some months and pissing it away as fast as it came in. He was arrested in 1990 and is serving life without parole. Today, Gringo Billy is Poppy Billy to his grandkids. He's eligible for Social Security and Medicare. He has a bum knee. His wife, a school administrator, and his 2 grown daughters, teens when he went away, now in their 40s, want this good man home for his final years. 25 years for pot is more than enough. Learn more about Billy Deakel at clemencyreport.org. lifeforpot.com. The number 8 prisoner deserving of clemency, Craig Cecil. Craig's life without parole sentence shows how federal conspiracy law produces outrageously unjust results, legal, but entirely disconnected from reality. Craig owned a towing and truck repair shop near Chicago for 23 years. He had 14 tow trucks and a big garage. His customers included truck rental companies and cops, 16 police departments, 2 Illinois State Police districts, and the Cook and DuPage County Sheriff's Departments. One of his repair clients, Sunhill Trucking of Florida, was accused of using their trucks to smuggle marijuana from Mexico. Craig was never charged with buying, selling, possessing, or using marijuana. But the government claimed the truck repairman knew what Sunhill Trucking did and helped repair and prepare the trucks for smuggling. Craig then was responsible for every ounce of marijuana that Sunhill Trucking may have touched, whether he saw the pot, whether he profited from the pot, or whether he even knew it ever existed. He pled guilty in 1992, but tried to revoke the plea bargain and was sentenced to life without parole. Wonder why so many hold the federal justice system in such low esteem? The story of Craig Cecil is one glaring example why. Learn more about his case at clemencyreport.org or lifeforpot.com. Number 9 prisoner is Jeff Mazansky, age 61. He's in prison in Missouri, serving life without parole. Jeff Mazansky is an inmate who's gathered considerable support for his unjust Missouri state sentence of life without parole for marijuana. He has nearly 400,000 signatures on his change.org petition. He received life without parole for buying a few pounds of pot. Governor Jay Nixon, a Democrat, has refused to act on Mazansky's clemency request. Why? The governor has dodged the question. Politics and justice are a poor match in Missouri. Learn more about Jeff Mazansky at clemencyreport.org and lifeforpot.com. And finally, in the top 10 list of these prisoners, of which there are far more that we could talk about, this is just the top 10. Fred Cundiff, age 68. Charles Fred Cundiff had been behind bars for nearly a quarter of a century for a nonviolent marijuana offense. Fred was a married father of three when he got caught up with eight others in a reverse sting to buy marijuana in Tallahassee in 1991. Fred wasn't a key person in the deal, but under conspiracy law, all defendants are held responsible for the entire weight of the cannabis. Fred had two previous minor convictions for growing pot, and that got him a mandatory life without parole sentence. You can learn more about Fred Cundiff at clemencyreport.org and lifeforpot.com. And huge thanks to Beth Curtis for all the work she is doing on this issue. The Clemency Report, The Human Solution is another group that is doing fantastic work in bringing these cases to light. The more you can give to help these people, the better. This is something that is going to be a problem until we legalize and even after we legalize marijuana. Still today in Colorado and Washington State, there are people that are serving time for things that are perfectly legal to do with a license now in Washington and Colorado. If we have declared that these things are no longer crimes, these activities are no longer crimes, then what are we punishing these men for? Other than it was illegal at the time they did it? We have to punish them for the mistaken understanding of cannabis by our society in the past? That seems cruel and unusual, and doesn't that violate the Eighth Amendment somehow? It's these men I think about when I read Stoners Against Legalization, wanting to fight this legalization or that legalization, because it's just not true legalization. It's not perfect enough. Sometimes they actually bring up these prisoners, that the initiatives don't free all these prisoners, as a reason to vote against the initiatives. Folks, it gets easier to set these guys free the more legal we make it. If we never make it any more legal, these guys never get out of prison.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.